This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin, because it is, once again, time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions. Listener questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. If you want to ask your question directly on my radio program, call the show during the show hours. We will give out the number frequently, and we post the number on Facebook so that you can call in directly. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Very well. I just finished making a big fish stew. It's actually a clam chowder, Manhattan clam chowder. But the way I like Manhattan clam chowder is I like to add some fish to the clams. So, yeah. You know, to kind of thicken it and offer a little more protein. So,
sure.
I found this New York Times recipe that I kind of, you know, I don't follow recipes with total fidelity, but I kind of riffed off it.
Uh-huh.
And what you want in a Manhattan clam chowder, it's the red kind of chowder. You want celery, and you want carrots, and you want some potatoes, and you also want some onions. So you saute those up. You add a couple of sprigs of thyme. By the way, I sauteed them in, perish the thought, bacon grease. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yum.
Because I made some bacon. That is also going to go into that, because that's a traditional add-on in a Manhattan clam chowder. So I got these really thick slabs of bacon. I was at Whole Foods yesterday.
Lovely.
And it was really thick. And then I cut them up into cubes, which I added at the end. And then I got about a pound of cod, which is on sale at Whole Foods, sometimes referred to as Whole Paycheck, but you know, look for sales. You can sometimes get out of there with your
wallet.
It's
easy to do that there.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got about a pound of cod, and I got some... Actually, not canned, but some nice frozen clams, because they have frozen clams there in the freezer section. And so
that's
So I chopped up the flounder and the clams, and I added some whole tomatoes from a can, peeled whole tomatoes,
nice.
To kind of give it, because you want the tomatoes, you want to feel the tomatoes when you're having the soup.
You do.
And I threw it all together and added a little bit of some red chili seeds. I mean,
red pepper flakes.
Red pepper flakes, yes. Which you gotta watch out, because I made like a ton of this, and I just use a pinch of that, and that really pumps up the volume. Some pepper and some salt, and you know, I think that's about it.
That sounds like a wonderful hearty soup.
Couple of bay leaves, and that was lunch, along with some you know, just a handful of nuts. That was good. So great.
Wonderful.
Now, some people think, wow, he's got these great cooking facilities in the office, because, no, I'm doing this from my home studio, so I just have to walk over from the kitchen. I got the pot simmering on the stove, and then I do a broadcast, which is kind of ideal. It's a good way to go.
That's
so
great.
Yeah. I'm going to share a headline with you and our listeners that we can riff off of, because I got, I posted this on Facebook, a couple of weeks ago. And I got an enormous number of responses, mostly people vociferously disagreeing with this. And the headline is, Paleo diet is dangerous, increases weight gain, diabetes expert warns. Okay. This comes to us from the University of Melbourne, where we know that everything is the opposite, because like – the water runs down the drain in the opposite direction, and hurricanes and typhoons go in the opposite direction, because that's how it works south of the equator. And so here's what they say. And I don't think you've even seen this article, but I'm sure you're going to have some reactions to it. So the summary is, mm-hmm. following a low-carbohydrate, high-fat diet for just 8 weeks can lead to rapid weight gain and health complications. A new mouse study has demonstrated. A mouse study. The study has prompted researchers to issue a warning about putting faith in so-called fad diets with little or no scientific evidence, such as the paleo diet. So, you know, you drill down here. Oh, they say, by the way, the lead author says, mm-hmm. this type of diet, exemplified in many forms of the popular paleo diet, is not recommended, especially for people who are already overweight and lead sedentary lifestyles. He says, mass media hype, I guess that would be me, media hype. Me and you, we're mass media hype, right?
We're media hype.
We're fueling the hype around the paleo diet, both of us who are sort of following it and advocating it. Okay, mm-hmm. mass media hype around these diets, particularly driven by celebrity chefs. Now, I can't even claim, I don't have the claim to fame to be a celebrity. Celebrity weight loss stories in the tabloid media and reality TV shows are leading more people trying fad diets backed by little evidence. In people with prediabetes or diabetes, the low-carb, high-fat diet could be particularly risky, he said.
Oh, my. Who is this tweet author, Dr. Hoffman?
His name is Andrikopoulos. Professor Sof Andrikopoulos. I know Sof is short for Sophocles. I don't know. Anyway, here's what they did. The Research University of Melbourne originally sought to test whether high-fat and low-carbohydrate foods would benefit the health of people with prediabetes. So what did they do? Well, they didn't try this out on people. They tried it out on mice. Last time I checked, mice are herbivores. Yeah? You know, they don't eat like a lot of lard, you know, right?
Yeah, and were these genetically engineered mice to be obese or have other kinds of mutations that have nothing to do with human?
Yes, They took two groups of overweight mice with prediabetes symptoms, genetically engineered, and they put one group on the low-carbohydrate and high-fat diet. The other group ate their normal diet, blah, blah, blah. They then discovered that the mice, the paleo diet group gained 15% of their body weight, and their fat mass doubled from 2% to almost 4%. And they say that if there were a person, a 100-kilogram person, would get 15 kilograms in 2 months from this type of diet. Now, by the way, they're a little confused about a paleo diet. Or they think a paleo diet is a very low-carb diet. Actually, in the study, the mice were still fed 20% carbohydrates. That's what they consider an ultra-low-carb diet, right? This is, you know.
Oh, no!
So how do you go into fat burning when you're taking 20% of your calories in carbohydrates? I don't know.
You cannot.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
So
you would never get into lipolysis ketosis, yes.
How many different ways is the study wrong? Is they apply results from mice to humans. I mean, this is the way the original cholesterol hypothesis and saturated fat hypothesis was formulated. Is a Russian physiologist, I think it was in the 1920s or 1930s, fed lard to rabbits and induced atherosclerosis pretty quickly because, you know, I guess, you know, there's the, what was it? Was it Monty Python and the Holy Grail? They had those like Attack of the Killer Rabbits. That was like a Monty Python routine back in the day. You know, rabbits with like fangs. Anyway. But rabbits aren't carnivores. They do tend to eat, you know, they're vegetarians generally.
They're herbivores. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how they get it from these mice that they can generalize to people. And it seems like the guy's got a little bit of a bias against, quote, fad diets because he's a scientist and he knows better. But I don't know if he's ever in his life met someone who's on a paleo diet. And by the way, the paleo diet is not laden with meat necessarily. I mean, I eat a ton of vegetables. The soup I just described to you is 90% vegetables and maybe 10% mm-hmm. protein from the fish and the clams and that, you know, little mm-hmm. bacon bits that I threw in there. So anyway.
I would invite the scientists to do the same study in humans. But make it a real low-carb diet, not where 20% of the calories are from carbohydrates. And I would suspect, if I was a gambler, I would bet the bank mm-hmm. that he would get a very different result.
Right. And also, you know, I tried this experiment on myself, and I'm continuing the experiment with myself. And I maintain the same activity level. I maintain the same mm-hmm. sleep. You know, all the different factors were even. And I went on a paleo diet. And I lost 8 pounds effortlessly while eating a ton of food. Now, I'm not pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. And I exercise a lot. I'm not sedentary, so I don't really fit mm-hmm. this model. However, we treat patients who are exactly like that here with a version of the paleo diet, a low-carb diet. Your background is from the Atkins Center.
Right.
You know, Atkins
would be low-carb or Whole 30 or, yes.
It works beautifully, and it's actually been...
It works beautifully.
And documented,
and
too.
And we replicate this over and over and over again here for years and years and years. I mean, not only do they lose the weight, all the biochemistries get better.
Yes. Right. Because
blood pressure comes down.
You can lose weight, but sometimes, you know, it's the expense of, like, liver problems or, you know, elevated cholesterol because you're consuming too much saturated fat and cholesterol. And all that comes down. And, you know, I might say that, I mean, maybe this isn't a testimony to the diet. I've been on... you know, pretty darn good diet consistently for at least the last 40 years of my life. But I just went for an ultra-fast, an EBT heart scan, the heart scan that we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine. And I finally got around to doing it. And I had a little trepidation because I am, you know, 64 years old. And, yeah, I kind of almost didn't want to know, like, I got plaque. That's going to put a crimp in my exercise style. I'm going to start thinking about my heart and, you know, I'm going to go into the red zone and, you know, should I pull back? And I was happy to see I got a zero score. So that was good.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So,
well, that's a testament, to the way you've been eating and, you know, not having the knee-jerk reaction when somebody talks about, or you even use lard or bacon or anything or butter, and it's all good.
Yeah. There's not a day that goes by where I don't have at least a couple of eggs. Least the last... I would say the last 20 years, you know. So if eggs give you heart disease.
Done your body good.
Yeah. So
done
anyway.
You good. That's wonderful. Yeah.
But, you know, there are counter arguments to that. I mean, you know, maybe I am genetically protected. Maybe I exercise a lot and I can expiate my diet sins. But, you know, you have the example of Jim Fix, who was an exercise fanatic. And he dropped dead, and he had massive atherosclerosis on autopsy. This is before they had the scans. There's a famous exercise advocate
from the '70s.
The '70s, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, anything I've read about exercise, Dr. Hoffman, it doesn't undo diet sins. Triglycerides will still be high if we're going to feed ourselves pizza and French fries.
Yep.
And submarine sandwiches and things of that nature, and chips and all that kind of thing. You know, I know too many people who still run marathons so they have the ability to eat all the ice cream they want, quote, end quote.
And there's this phenomenon of people who train for marathons running, you know, 20, 30 miles a week who are in the process gaining weight. And they can't understand it. They took up running to lose weight, but it stokes their appetite so much, and then they feel that they've got moral license to carboload, you know, because they did so much exercise that they, you know, at the finish line, they're going to give them, you know, bagels, and they're going to give them, you know, big, you know, tall glasses of orange juice and things like that to replete their burn off calories, but then that maintains their fat.
Yeah. Yeah, I personally know a female triathlete in her mid-40s who is always borderline diabetic. If she stopped being a triathlete, forget about it, because she continues
addressed,
to carb load.
She hasn't addressed the diet.
She hasn't addressed, no.
All right. A long digression on this subject, but folks, don't be...
But an important one.
Don't be put off, because... and a good template for you, if you want to explore the paleo diet, I mean, there's paleo diet for autoimmunity. Dr. Terry Walls has written extensively about that, and you might want to find out about that. We're trying to bring her in as a guest next month. And
wonderful.
Also, we talked to a couple of gals earlier, I guess last month, about the paleo diet for autoimmunity. They have a paleo cookbook. And then there's, of course, the Whole30, which is the diet that I've espoused personally. And, you know, the different variations on the diet. And by the way, there's no single monolithic paleo diet. For those who are diabetic, we might want to cut back on carbs. And for those who are active and non-diabetic, we might, you know, offer them plenty of sweet potatoes, you know, certain starchy tubers. I'm thinking of getting some green plantain and making that up, because that will add a little variety to my starches. I mean, it's something that it's not great to have if you're overweight and diabetic. but mm-hmm. you know, it's certainly
you could do it.
I think I can handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well. Okay. We've got an email here from Joyce. Joyce writes, I am on an annual reclass infusion. I have osteoporosis due to treatment from breast cancer. I recently had some blood testing done. Everything's fine except my calcium was slightly elevated, and my doctor suggested I increase my vitamin D from 1,000 IU daily to 2,000. And I'm wondering, would this have a negative effect on my bones in any way?
To increase the vitamin D?
To increase the vitamin D because her calcium is high. Her doctor recommended that she increase her vitamin
D.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, here's a. Okay. So she has osteoporosis, and you can easily get osteoporosis from chemo because chemo stunts the growth of normal cells as well as the cancer cells. So it's not uncommon that individuals become osteoporotic after chemo, mm-hmm. and this would, you know, breast cancer certainly is a scenario for that. So she has a high calcium, slightly high calcium, mm-hmm. and this poses a dilemma for doctors. And I've actually seen some cases where I was at variance with some doctors who believe that increasing the vitamin D would increase the calcium, which it can do. But you can also decrease the calcium with vitamin D.
Yeah.
Because you can get a condition called secondary hyperparathyroidism when vitamin D is deficient. So we'd want to look at the level of vitamin D. If it's very low, that could cause her parathyroid gland to go into overdrive, release calcium from
the bone. Which would then cause the calcium to go up.
Which could cause calcium to go up, and then vitamin D would suppress it. So, I mean, I would be careful about, increasing the calcium. I'd have to see, some tests. See if perhaps mm-hmm. parathyroid is elevated. See if vitamin D is too low. And because...
Yeah, she doesn't give us an indication of what her D level is, but she says her calcium is 10.6.
Yeah, so, for example, it's hard to get toxic from too much vitamin D, but the main symptom of vitamin D toxicity, which usually you can't get with anything under 10,000 a day, is... Hypercalcemia is excess calcium, which can result in calcium stones, which can result in pancreatitis and other nasty symptoms of mm-hmm. hypercalcemia. So, yeah, I don't know what to do in this circumstance unless I were to review the case. But
Joyce, this is a consult. I mean, the fact that she's on a reclass infusion, that was her main worry about changing her vitamin D dose.
Well, she's on a, if she's going from 1,000 to 2,000, that's a pretty low dose and a pretty safe dose.
Yeah.
And I would think that the reclass would only work better with adequate vitamin D. Now, if she has osteoporosis because she has hyperparathyroidism, that's a condition that should be addressed because the condition of hyperparathyroidism itself can cause osteoporosis. And that's a condition mm-hmm. that's a surgical condition because if the calcium gets too high, you have to remove one of the parathyroid glands, which is delicate surgery that only a few select surgeons specialize in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Joyce, you need a consult.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you for listening, and we wish you the best.
This is like a day in the office. Right. This is like a day in the office.
It is. It's a day in the office, right?
Right.
Oh, my. Oh, we've got an email here from Australia, from Rachel. I'm from Australia.
Nice.
I love your podcast.
Tell Rachel she should straighten out this guy, Professor Sof Andrikopoulos, head over there to Melbourne University and,
Give him what for.
Yeah, give him what for. Give him a dressing down because he knows not whereof he speaks.
Right. Oh, my. So Rachel writes, Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My daughter, 9 years old, has recently started head twitching. I have observed when she is tired or the weather is hot, the twitching seems to increase.
Mm-hmm.
It started late last year. She's in excellent health, has no other concerns, is doing wonderfully at school. after reading many articles, maybe it's a developmental stage, but I'm worried as other kids are starting to notice. FYI, Kate did have scarlet fever late last year.
That's the clue. Okay, so she is likely to be suffering from a PANDAS, which is pediatric something neurodevelopmental something syndrome, autoimmune syndrome.
PANDAS.
Yeah, PANDAS,
acronym,
like the animal is the acronym. And that is a condition that's triggered often by strep. Now, it seems to be a modern variation on what used to be called St. Vitus dance, which is a non-existent disease. But historically, I mean, the people weren't literally dancing, but they were, you know, twitching and gesticulating, seemingly as if they were possessed. It was a disease that was described in the 18th and 19th centuries. And with the advent of antibiotics, it has, you know, perhaps changed. So that we now have instead what we call Tourette's syndrome, which sometimes associated with grunting or sniffing or throat clearing, like you know, that kind of thing, or head bobbing or twitching, grimacing sometimes. And so I would go to a pediatric neurologist around that issue. And you know, I don't know what the situation is down there in Australia, but. You know, unless you're in the outback, they got pretty good docs, you know, in the main cities, and they are familiar with this. Now, I really believe that there's room for natural treatment for this. And, one of my good colleagues, Dr. Ken Bach, has written a wonderful book on childhood disorders, including autism. But I think there's a section that talks a little bit about PANDAS, and there's probably a lot on the internet that you can Google on natural approaches to PANDAS, and it seems to, under stress, dietary stress, allergic stress, exhaustion stress, it seems to manifest more. Sometimes the treatment involves antibiotics to eradicate chronic strep infection or strep carrier status, but it also involves nutritional support, essential fatty acids, magnesium, addressing dysbiosis. Yeah, B vitamins, of course. And I actually remember in my very earliest days of practice, this must be like nearly 30 years ago, treating a couple of young boys who had this. And I didn't know as much, and we didn't know as much about it, but I was convinced that there was a nutritional component to this. And so we put the kids on a, you know, what I guess the modern equivalent would be a gluten-free, dairy-free Candida diet. And, you know, low carb, avoiding the major allergens. And lo and behold, when the kids followed the diet, they were fine. And when they got off the diet and they ate junk and sugar, their symptoms started to recur. So there is a holistic or, you know, natural component to treatment of this condition.
Right. And just to be clear for Rachel, PANDAS stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcal Infections.
Okay. There we go.
I
had about 80% right.
You had 80% of that, yeah. Well, I had to pull it up and read it.
Okay.
So, wow. All right. Well, Rachel, your daughter Kate needs a full workup.
Yeah. But I think that neurodevelopmental specialists can properly diagnose it and address it. But I think there's a burgeoning movement in Australia for functional medicine. I think Australia is really on the map in terms of you know, integrative doctors like myself. And perhaps there's some who also work in a pediatric mode, because many integrative doctors like myself, we don't no longer handle children. But doctors like Dr. Bach, you know, some of the guests that we've had in our program have addressed this problem in their practices.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Or take a trip to the U.S. It's nice here, and see one of those doctors. Yeah, straighten you out.
Absolutely. Best of luck with your daughter, Kate. Rachel, thank you for emailing us.
Okay.
All right.
I think we've run through our allotted time.
Is it
for
that
part
time
one.
Already?
It is that time. Time flies when you're having fun. We'll remind our listeners that you can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. I believe another way that you can weigh in with a question is you can go to our homepage. I believe this only works on, you know, a Mac. or a PC computer desktop, not on a mobile handheld. When you look at our homepage, there's a little black bar on the right, and if you click on that, it'll prompt you to record a question, and we'll use that question and answer it on the air during our weekend radio program, Intelligent Medicine. But if you want us to discuss it, Layla and I, radioprogram at AOL.com is the place to send your question. Okay? So let's pause for a couple of moments and give us a preview of what we're going to be talking about in part two.
Oh, Dr. Hoffman, I was told I have tinnitus and there is no cure. Help.
Oh. Okay. We will address that question when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.